Okay.
Want a coffee?
Yeah. Anyway, so last week, I think we spoke a certain amount about, as if I remember, Zikuch, about the concept of the Zayim we spoke about. Anyway, so far we know certain very important ideas. One is that a human being is a murkav, is a mixture, really, or a conglomerate of physical and spiritual. We know that, which of course is highly unusual, because they're really anti-substances. So therefore, that type of a being, that type of a composite, is extraordinary. Because like I say, there are different types of material substances, they're anti, and how they can both survive in one individual or entity at the same time is really amazing. The second idea we had talked about is really the neshama of a person is really so powerful that that type of a composite cannot last. As soon as the neshama is connected or attached or enters, whatever expression you want to use, it would immediately purify that physical body. It would purify that materialism and make that body transparent. And as a result of that, that neshama would therefore be able to connect with the ruchnistic bria. That body would not serve as a barrier. Also, I had mentioned that it would do that. However, what the Varshan did, Zahar, you see, is he restricted the neshama from doing that. The neshama cannot do that. It is restricted by a divine command. In many ways, that's represented. Thanks. That is represented. Two things are in there. In many ways, it's like the moon, where the Rosh Hashanah told the moon, "Matis atzmech, diminish yourself." So, in many ways, that represents the concept, the inability of the neshama to purify the body. So therefore, the neshama is now stuck to a material home, so to speak, a physical home, and it can't disconnect, it can't disassemble the human body. So really, in a certain sense, it's a captive in prison.
What happens when zikuch happens to the body?
Yeah.
What happens to the zuma that was in it? Is it destroyed, or it gets converted, transformed into the divine energy, just like it was before it was given over to Satan?
It's annihilated.
It doesn't go back to be in its proper form?
No, you cannot be mzakech zoyama.
Oh, it has to disappear.
It has to be annihilated. Yes. You can't destroy zoyama. You cannot purify zoyama. It's removed, destroyed.
How's it destroyed again?
How?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm, you know, what ultimately what has to happen in the Bria is the Zoyama in everybody's body, that's what we really have to do, is to eject the Zoyama from the body. So the body, the Adam Rishon, for instance, his body, he had no Zoyama. Before the sin, he had no zoyama. Yet he was a physical, material being. Not like us, but he was still a material or physical being. So, without zoyama, he would live forever. Because remember, zoyama is a force used by the Satan that ultimately decomposes all living organisms. And therefore, the objective is to eject the zoyma from the body, then all of a sudden you become like all the Mauritian before the sin, before the chet.
So
that's mamash.
What means is the objective?
Well, the Rabban Shem rejects it.
What do we have to do to initiate the process?
Okay, so there's a whole that's the tikkun process.
That is tikkun.
Yeah, the tikkun process embodies two ideas. The first is to literally eject the Zoyama from the guf and from the entire universe. That's the first stage one tikkun. Okay? Stage two tikkun is then to bring down a much greater amount of ore, ha'ora, from the spheres, and that will now dematerialize the physical body. So that's stage two.
Can both be done simultaneously or specifically in two stages?
No, stages.
That's Mitzvah Mashiach?
Well, that's basically the beginning of Mashiach ben David.
Is the or is the Zoyama's God?
The Zoyama's God, but the material of the body is not reconverted or retransformed back into the spiritual.
It's already eternal.
It's already no death. Yeah. Once you remove the Zoyama, you remove the element or the energy or the force of decomposition. So what happens is you become like Adam Rishon before the Chet, who would have been eternal. He would never die because there's no decomposing force. You see, so that would be stage one, where you would be like Adam Rishon before the Chet, okay? And stage two is a retransformation of the physical itself to become spiritual. So by Maimon Har Sinai, it was at stage one.
Because it says they already lost the Zoyama of the Nachash.
No, that's how they did it. They lost the Zoyama of the Nachash. It was ejected, right? But it was still physical.
Right.
So therefore, that's stage one, right? Stage two would have been where their bodies would have become Nizdakach, which means purified, and they would therefore be at that kind of stage would be that they would become spiritual beings. You see, they would actually become spiritual beings.
What's the meaning of decomposition from the Zohar?
What's the what?
What's the meaning of this decomposition property of the Zohar, that it decomposes, the demolition quality?
It's a destructive force. No, and you ask me what the nature of it is.
Why do you destroy it?
Why what?
Destroying it from what it's supposed to achieve. Why
death.
What?
It's the ultimate destruction of whatever it touches. What it is a non-existence. Look, ask yourself this. You know, there's only two ultimate good in the universe. What's the definition of good?
What?
Oh, wait, one second, people. I don't need more. I got to hold on or something. I'm going to go so far afield. Unless you guys remind me where I was. What am I talking about? Zoyama, okay. What is the definition of good? What does Toiv mean, really?
Being.
Toiv is?
Being.
You're all right, but to do good means to enhance being. To enhance, to promote being. Okay? That's good. The opposite, which is bad evil, is to detract, right? Or to terminate being. That's it. That's the greatest of all good. Right? So therefore, the Zoyama, which is bad, it's the opposite of existence. It's to remove existence. So the Satan is a force that terminates existence. That's called death. It's only one of two. There is nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Either you exist or you don't exist. So the Zoyama is a force that makes sure that enables your non-existence.
But Satan is not interested in death, he's interested in the Raiders. That's how he gets dead.
Well, actually, he is interested in death, you know, because if he kills you, he will survive. The Satan has his own ideas. Rav Chaim talks about that. It's called the Merid, the Merit of the Satan, which is a very mystical concept, you know. Well, the Satan follows the order of God, yes. But really what he wants to do is to be God. The Satan actually thinks that if he destroys or the more powerful he gets, because he's unique, he eventually can rival God. In a certain sense, that's exactly what he said to Chava. When he told Chava, what? Yisim Kelukim, right? Yes? Was that a lie to him? Was that his illusion about himself? Interesting question. You know, did he know? Did he think it was a lie, or did he think it could be true? Because he felt that could be true.
Well, if he felt that could be true, then that takes away the Motzi Shem Ra from his action, because he thinks that's the way things work. He honestly thinks that's the way things work.
It's still Motzi Shem Ra, except he, you could say that maybe he didn't realize it was Motzi Shem Ra, right? But it was a lie. It was still Motzi Shem Ra, you know? That's the concept of Kavona in an Avera, you know?
So it comes out that the ones who went into the alive, they had such self-being.
They had what? Was this?
They had such self-being, they didn't have to.
Who's this?
The ones who went into the naked alive.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah, what about them?
They had such self-being, there's no need for them to have any non-self-being that they do with duration. So it comes out.
That they had Susam, not following you.
The whole thing of Misa is taking away being.
Yeah.
They didn't have Misa.
Yeah.
It comes out that they wanted a Madrego.
They were like Adam Rishon before the Chet, I mean, in that sense. Right?
The Metzius was a Metzius being. There was nothing else but it.
Yeah, we had no Zayama. Yeah.
That's what it
was. Correct, they had no Zayama.
But when somebody dies, there's no Zayama for the person anymore. So he's also in the Modega with the Malishan from perception point of view.
When he dies, or when he's dead?
No, when anybody dies.
No, it takes time. There has to be some type of transformation of
the Zoom wave time, right?
No, there has to be a decomposition in a certain sense where the person returns to earth.
After death?
After death, yeah. Yes, decompose. In the decomposition apparently is the removal of the Zoyama.
So it's a process that takes some time. But after that, why is it the Zoyama?
What was that?
After that, any person, any human being, after that process is over, is on the Zoyama.
But remember, he's dead. This is the major obstacle.
He's dead as far as we're concerned, but he's not dead.
No, he's dead.
His
neshama is alive, but he's dead.
His body is dead, but his neshama is not there.
So what? Adam Rishon is not just a neshama. You said he's like Adam Rishon.
From a perception point of view.
Well, he's alive in that sense, but he's dead. So therefore, he's not all like Adam Rishon.
We don't see him, but he's very much alive.
No, you understand what I'm saying. Adam Rishon is a composite, right? If it's just a neshama, that's not called a man, is it?
True, but no, right. But
so therefore, in order to be Adam Rishon, he has to have no zoyma and be alive, like a person, right? Then he's like Adam Rishon before the Chet. So therefore, by Tchias HaMesim, everybody will be like Adam Rishon before the Chet. Nobody has zoyma. You know what I'm saying?
So
they have no zoyma. What?
They don't have zoyma.
You know, it's an interesting question, but apparently it could be that's just like Elio Hanoich, right? They went up Shemayim live, right?
Even today, they find people.
Yeah, there are cases. There are stories of. No, they're dead. But they're not decomposed.
Right,
No. Death and Zoyam are two different things. A person's dead if his neshama is gone. Right? He's dead. Even if he has no Zoyam, so what? He's still dead. They're two different concepts, right? The neshama has to come back into the guf, and then he's alive. So he may or may not have Zoyama.
So Zoyama has nothing to do with death?
No, exactly, yeah. Death fundamentally is the removal of the neshama. That's what death is. Our problem, Zoyama is a decomposing force that will lead to death. But the death is when the neshama leaves the guf.
Why is Satan this Malach HaMalos?
What do you mean? What?
Why is Satan Malach Malach's job?
What do you mean, why is Malach Malach's job? That's the question.
If Satan is the manager of Zuhama.
Yes.
If Zuhama has nothing to do with death, it shouldn't be Satan who takes away the life. Well, it has nothing to do with him. He's managing Zuhama. He's injecting
Zuhama. Wait. Good question. The Satan has three jobs. Yes? Right? Supposedly. He has three jobs. What are the three jobs? What's the first job? He's a Yetzirah, right? As a Yetzirah, he tries to tempt you to sin. Correct? Fine. If he succeeds in tempting you to sin, right, he now becomes, he has like three hats. His first hat, right, is that he tries to tempt you to sin. That's the Yetzirah. He's trying to convince you to sin. If he convinces you to sin, then he takes off his hat, first hat, and he puts on a second hat. And what is the second hat?
Satan.
No?
Satan.
Well, yeah, well, come on, but...
Who?
He's the prosecutor. He's a mekatre. Which means that he is the prosecuting attorney. He's called the heavenly DA. Most DAs are not heavenly. He, however, is the heavenly DA. He's a district attorney, which is, that's what his job is, right? He's like the Department of Justice. You know, he's a Makatre. If he succeeds in doing whatever his Ketrik is, whatever that is, right, and Bezdin goes in favor of him, then he takes off that second hat and he puts in a third hat, and that his job is called? He's the Malchamovis. Now, the Malchamovis, that job is the individual that severs the soul from the body. You ever see in English literature, they call him the Grim Reaper. You ever hear that title? The Grim Reaper? And he's walking around with a scythe. You know, it's like a thing with the, you ever see cut wheat?
Yeah.
It's like a sickle. You know, like a, right? With a handle, right? He's like that, right? So if you ever look in, you know, the where they portray the Sutton, he's like a guy, you want a long robe and a hat, a funny hat, and whatever, so, you know. And he's walking around with this scythe. Right? What's the sad for? He disconnects the neshama from the guf. So as such, he can do that. He has the wherewithal to disconnect the neshama from the body. You see? So that's his jobs. Right? But his influence, but the presence of the sultan, right? His presence means his property. He has a property that he can infuse you with his influence, which is Zoyama. Zoyama is a force that he emits, and that, when it connects to a person, begins to decompose the person. Right? So his presence is a decomposing entity. However, he has those three jobs. So in a certain sense, if you ask yourself, what are the characteristics of the Sultan? So there are four in that sense. There are three jobs that he does. These are operations that he does. And then they're standing next to the guy. If he invades you, so to speak, then you become decomposed. You know what I'm saying?
Does he mean out any other punishment other than death?
Does he mean out? Yeah. There's a whole entourage of Malchi Chavola.
So as he has at his disposal, if the person isn't Chayav Misa, just Chayav Yisurin or whatever it is, he sends out one of his emissaries to...
Yeah, generally speaking, yeah.
Number two is, they call certain... some people said they came under the influence of the Satan, that they supposedly, whatever it is, that they became part of... Not Kishuv, but they became such big Rishayim that they now are in the hands of the Satan, that Satan uses them as part of his entourage. Is that also sort of, did he transfer them some sort of Zuhama, or is it
the Satan can do something else, you see, and that's why it's called a klipa. Klipa is a shell that surrounds a kernel, you know, it's a shell that surrounds the good stuff. So the power of the Satan, right, in terms of probably that's what the Zuhama does. What it does is it blocks out any ha'or of the Shekhinah that gets to you. It's a klipa, it's a shell. It's a preventive. It's a barrier. You see. So if the satan surrounds somebody, then that enormously diminishes hashpo of the shechina. You see. So in a certain sense, if a person does a chet, if a person sins continuously, right, then he can he serves as a barrier that does not allow ha'ora to enter, which would energize you to do good. You see. So that's probably the worst thing.
So we explained once that it works like there is a Jew and there is a Satan. So there is one pipe coming from the Shemayim, and it splits into two. So depending on what Jew does, then either a Jew gets that energy and his being is enhanced, or a Satan gets that energy and his energy is enhanced and he can do more things.
But the reason why he gets that energy is because he can block that from you.
Right, but it's not that a Jew's being is impacted by Satan. It just the Jew doesn't get enough energy. So
yeah.
His being is diminished. It's not Satan directly. It's just for lack of the divine energy. That energy is going to Satan.
Which
Satan has that energy is in Zuhuma now because Satan generates transforms that energy into Zuhuma probably.
Yeah. So once he's yoinik from the Shechina, right? then it energizes him, and then his zoyama or his tuma becomes much more powerful.
Right, so there's no, so it's not that something directly decomposes anything, just there's not enough energy, and the energy that's supposed to build is not here. So matter decomposes naturally because the energy goes to something. Is that how it works?
No, you're confusing the, no. The source of his energy is the Shechina. All things have to be yoinik from the Shechina, right? So that's the source of his energy. But what he can do is he can, if you chayte, he can and you chayav, whether it's then it's the beds and the kitug and all that, right? And then all of a sudden he can envelop you, right? That's called the klipa, and then he could take the kedusha that would come to you. He can be yearning that. That energizes him to throw out, to emit greater zoyama.
So he corrupts the kedusha that comes over, or it just gives energy and he produces the zoyama on his own.
He produces Zoyama, right? Okay. But the way he does it, he also has to have energy. So the Shefa that comes from Shemayim, Shechina, right? He's able to yoinek the Kedusha. And as a result of that, he can now envelop you, that right? And which means that he can now take from that Kedusha. You don't have access to that Kedusha,
and therefore
right?
Therefore the being is diminished.
And therefore the being is clearly diminished.
And
yeah.
That's what the condition is. That's where the conditions come from.
You know, it's an interesting clear. Does a decomposition come from because of the lack of the Shechina, which is interesting?
Yes, he's taking the Shechina, so Shechina don't come
that he's
here.
Clearly doing.
Decomposition is not enough energy.
Perhaps. Or is the decomposition come because he can actually infuse you?
But then how does lack of energy manifest in the world?
That's really... It's what you raise is a very interesting chakira.
If not this, what is that?
When we say that everybody has Zoyama in him, right? What does that really mean? Is that what's decomposing you? Or the Zoyama is a fundamental barrier that doesn't allow a certain amount of Shechina, and therefore there's a decomposition. It's interesting, Chakira. Yeah, so in other words, is the power of the Zoyama the ability to act as a klipa? Right? But that remains fundamentally connected to you because of the Chet of Adam Rishon. You can't get rid of that. You can, but that's the process of Tikkun. Right? So that's the question. Is that how he decomposes you? You know? Or because of the lack of Shechina, of lack of Ha'ora? Or is it the input of a poison into you and that decomposes you? Interesting.
Who? It has to be
like you can go either way on this. You know?
We both.
I'm just, it's a good Chakir that, you know, I don't know if that's what you mean, but it comes
both.
Out.
It could be radioactive news. I mean,
yeah, I just said, yeah. Is it a shlili or is it a chiyuvi? Is it a positive force that gets you or is it a negative force in the sense that he obstructs the ha'ora and that's what gets you? It's a good chakir. I mean, no.
That's like a seita when she drinks the bar, the Shem Hashem goes to her. So if she could be, if she's a car, she could be Mizara Zera because of that Shem Hashem. But if she's a apostle, she was Nizana,
yeah,
then that klipa takes over and deteriorates her.
It's not a klipa, it's Shem Hashem, you said.
The Shem Hashem goes through her, But the Shem Hashem deteriorates her. So I guess it's not the Shem Hashem that's deteriorating.
Well,
I
think you want to tell you, what you're really trying to do is describe the mechanism. Is that empower? No, no, in a certain way, it's not clear, you know. You know, is it the shame that energizes the Zoyama and that's what kills
her? It's the shame of Maya that is energizing her in order to become healthy. If she's a car, she's Mizrahi Zerah.
Or maybe it's energizing the Zoyama to kill her because it says her belly busts, right? Breaks. You know, she's just, you can look at it that way. So that's the question, which way does it work? Okay, fine, you know. But the main idea is that where are we? I need a GPS. Anyway, that's what the Zoyama does. It's a decomposing entity. And the main idea is to reject or to eject that Zoyama material, which is what the Jews did by Matan Torah. They ejected the Zoyama from them. They were Zoyama free.
Can it be death to Satan?
No, because he can re-enter, which is what he did. He's still alive, but he's not in you. Let's just say the association has been terminated, but he's around to re-enter, to re-contaminate
you. But his power is in that one, unless we allow him to enter. He has no power over
his... His power, therefore, is trying to convince you to sin. And that's why, by the Matan Torah, how did he convince everybody to sin? Who?
He showed the vision.
Yeah, he had a vision up there. You know, I said it. He had a vision up there, so he can try to convince you logically, with an argument, so to speak, or an illusion, right, to sin. But he's not there as a Yetzirah, which is interesting. We don't know what that means. We don't know what it means to walk around without a Yetzirah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, well we've never experienced...
You know, but my point is, if he's trying to get you to do Averis, isn't that essentially the same thing?
Well, there's a difference, because we have urges. That's what gets us. We have urges, we have needs, right? We have drives. The drives are the sudden.
None of those will be present after the sudden leaves?
What was that?
There will be no more need to eat or anything like that after the sudden leaves. I mean, most Rishep and other.
No. But we'll still want to eat.
The sudden is to trick you, but he's a fool. He much of him is in a highly meditative state lying down, and he showed a vision of him saying, look, he's dead.
He's
this
dead.
Is proof.
Yeah.
So that's a fool. That
who's a fool?
The
sudden is trying. Why is he a
fool? Because he's trying to fool us.
So he's not the fool. We're the fool.
That's what they call him. Zucking and still. He is a
fool. Well, wait, no, he's a fool for another reason.
He's trying to fool us. That's why
they
call him still.
But really, he doesn't realize that he is the one that brings the gula. That's what he doesn't realize. The classic case is like Haman, for instance, right? Haman, he thought, you know, Haman is up there, he wants to kill the Jews. But meanwhile, Haman is the one who got Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. And that had profound implications, you know. So if you ask yourself, who got the Jews to do tshuva? And the answer is Achashverosh and Haman, you know. But his idea wasn't to get the Jews to do tshuva. His idea was to wipe out the Jews, you know. So, you know, he's a fool in not understanding that he will be the actual agent to do the exact opposite of what he wants to do. And that's because the Bansham does that. Makes him a fool. Yeah. But we're the fools because in that sense, we sin.
We're the fool. We're the receiving end of his trick.
Anyway.
But we have to go and try to trick him back.
Yes. Anyway. Well, yeah, so I had mentioned, so the Satan has an illusion that if he gets enough, if he's yonik enough, the Ramchal brings this down in Das Tunis Chelik Beis, which is not in the first Das Tunis, it's in a Sefer, a green, also one of the green volumes, Chelik Beis, there's a second edition of the Das Funas, not edition, it's an expansion of the Das Funas. It's on a concept which is, it's called the merit of the Sitra Achra, the rebellion of the Sitra Achra. And he mentions there that the Satan has an illusion, actually it's not an illusion, it's a delusion, it's a false belief, that if he's yonik enough, which means if he gets enough kedusha, yonika, from the Jews, because that's where you get it from, then he can rival God. Or he can certainly become a superior being. Because he sees that whenever he's yonik, he grows. He grows in stature. You know, and that fools anybody. If you become more powerful because you pop a pill, what are you going to do? The likelihood is you're going to keep popping the pills. Right? Same thing. He's convinced that if he takes enough pills, so to speak, he's going to rival God. You see.
If he's a malach, then
how can
he
defeat them? How can he what?
Malach knows that he's governed by Hashem.
Well, obviously it's denied him. That insight is denied him. I once told you why the Rosh wants him to be delusional. You mind? I once told you that. Why does God want him to be delusional? The Bashem does. He wants him to have that delusion. Remember why? Remember? Nobody else remembers. What? Here's the problem. If the Satan does what the Bashem wants, yes, we're finished. It's over. Why? Because the Jews sin, and the Satan has a job. His job is to prosecute, right? But the Moshe does not want him to prosecute, really, because if he keeps prosecuting, he's going to kill everybody. Because we're, by and large, guilty an enormous amount of times. So if he's loyal to his job, we're doomed. Yes? We're doomed. Because he's loyal to his job, we sinned, he prosecutes. Bad news. So therefore what the Moshe has to do is in a certain sense make him disloyal to his job. He needs to bribe him. How do you bribe somebody? You need to give them a self-interest. All of a sudden they're interested in something. You see? So he's got two things in front of him. His self-interest, which is to be God, right? And the second thing is to do the job of God. Right? Two things. Now, if he's offered a bribe not to prosecute, he's going to choose the bribe. So therefore, if he can grow and think that he can be like God, then he has a self-interest not to prosecute. And to go for the other thing, which is the delusion that I can become God. It's called a bribe. I once told you there are many instances of bribes, right? Am I told you? The Eretz Yisrael, I told you. But the Moshe says, okay, I have to give the Eretz Yisrael back to the Jews. Sutton says, what? They don't deserve this. You know, all kinds of kitrugim. The Moshe says, okay, I'll make a deal with you. Right? Here's the deal. Your guys get it first. Means your guys, the Mapai, the Zionists, all these guys, right? All these guys that want to destroy the Jewish religion, right? You get them first. So the Sultan makes the cheshbon, he goes home, talks over his wife, you know, and he says, oh, I got two jobs. I can either stick loyal to the Jews and keep prosecuting, right? And say, hey, come on, you can't give me a trial, they're busy sinning. Or I can take the offer by God, right? I get my guys in, you know, all the Mapais and all these guys, right? And what they do is they'll shmat up everybody in Eretz Israel. And everybody will sin. And if everybody sins, I can be yoinik. And if I can be yoinik, I'm on my way. You see? So he's got one of two choices. But the reason why he has one of those two choices is because he can be bribed. You see? But the reason why he can be bribed, because he has a self-interest independent of a loyalty to his mission. You see? That delusion is the interest. Because he has that delusion, that's how we survive. So the Baruch Hashem, it's called Shechat L'Satan. It's a famous statement. So because Rav Hashem can offer him a bribe, then he can turn him away from his mission, his job, and we can survive. So it's okay, give him a straw. My guys get it first. You see, I told you, same thing you find by Kabbalah. The Rav Hashem says, okay, I have to bring down Kabbalah. Right? So when you bring a Kabbalah, how you bring this down, which is really the Orishim. How you do that, right? So he says, okay, your guys get it first. Your guys are all the guys selling Zohar waters, Zoyas, you know, okay, and you know, the, who?
The Nachman Umans. They're jumping up and down.
No, not them, no.
Why not?
Chas v'shalom. No, the other guy's selling Zohar waters. Whatever, you know, okay, selling it.
No, they need
bringing all the Hollywood stars. Right, and they, you know...
I think wrestlers look like ridiculous.
No. You know, it's not true. Anyway, so he says, fine, I have no problem, right? Mm-hmm. They'll get it first. They'll destroy the entire Kiddush of Kabbalah, right? Because now all the Hollywood stars have it. So all the people, the Frum Eden will say, we're not going to learn Kabbalah. I mean, this is what's going on. You know, so he'll be able to turn it away. He did that many times, Shabtzai Tzvi. Shatz was a Sheikhab. You know, okay, let Shatz do it. And meanwhile, he turned off everybody, not to learn Kabbalah. And so on. So therefore, that's a critical piece of the Bria, is that the Satan has a self-interest, and the delusion of merit is his delusion. Very important idea. You see? Because he needs Yenika, so he can rival God.
Well,
so
no
anyway.
Also. Malchus Beis David could not come about without this
nusach
of
Lot. No, that wasn't Shechad, that was Hester. The Baruch Hashem conceals, many things about Mashiach in a tumah cloak, so the Satan doesn't look there. It's Tomei. I'm worried about this. You know, these people are sinning. I have to worry about this. He does that to conceal. That's not self-interest. That's concealment. Anyway.
I thought it's giving him something in order to get.
No.
He's saying, No,
he conceals. Yeah, that's what in Mitzrayim, right? Jews, they were killing Jews all over the place, so the Sultan was busy Mekadre, right? Meanwhile, he slipped down Moshe Rabbeinu's Neshama. And it wasn't even obvious to the Sultan. Or else the Sultan would have said, well, you can't bring him down. Because, you know, that's it. That's Torah and everything, so, you know? Anyway. So that's a lot of stuff that goes on where things are concealed. That's why you find the Mashiach is always either born in Tumah or goes through Tumah, all this kind of stuff. Huh?
Yudin
Tumah, Dovra Melech, you know, a lot of stuff that is concealed through this. Lot.
Yudin
Tumah. Oh, yeah, that's the Lot in the classic. Yudin Tumah, yeah. But any case, so therefore, this is So the neshama cannot break. I said can't mizakech, cannot purify the body, and it's bound. So what happens now if the neshama cannot mizakech the guf? So then what happens? So. What happens is very interesting. Is the Marsham decides to do certain things that you cannot escape the physical universe. You are bound to it. You got to live through it. You got to go make a living. You got to eat. All this kind of stuff, right? But what the Marsham said is this, is that if you relate to the physical universe in a certain way, right, then that itself will give the power of the neshama to be mezakech the guf. That's what he did. So what the Marsham did is interesting, that it is the very instrument called the physical universe that will allow the neshama to bring a zikuch of the guf. That's a principle, very important, you see. So therefore, if a person interacts with the physical universe in a certain defined way, he can actually ultimately change the nature of the physical universe. Now, we know what that is. The defined way to react with the physical universe is called mitzvahs. What is a mitzvah? A mitzvah really is what? It is an interaction or where you actually intervene into the bria, right? In a certain way, under certain circumstances, right? And when you do that mitzvah gives a certain amount of koyach to the neshama to do the operation called zikuch. Got that? That's what a mitzvah does. So a mitzvah is a device that allows the neshama to access a certain amount of force that will ultimately mezakech the body. However, the problem is, and you remember, is that because Adam Rishon's chet introduced the zoyama, therefore the mitzvah, even if it gives koyach to neshama, cannot work. Because the neshama can be mezakech a guf of material body, but it cannot mezakech the zoyama. It has to eject the zoyama. So therefore, because it cannot be mezakech the zoyama, right? Therefore, what happens is the neshama collects. It's like a savings account, where all the different mitzvahs that an individual did, it's put into a specific savings account, so to speak. All that enormous, it's like a capacitor, an electronic circuit. It stores the energy, you see. But the neshama does not have access to the energy that is stored, as long as the zoyma is in the body. It is only after the zoyma is out of the body, and a certain amount of time passes, yes, that the neshama can mezakech the guf, using all the energy that it stored as a result of all the mitzvahs that it did. You see?
The neshama can never access the mitzvah, the energy of the mitzvah?
No, not, it can. I didn't say never, did I?
You said only after...
A certain specific designated time, then it can access that energy. It's bank account. It's like a CD. You know, you put the money in, you can't withdraw it, on the, right? Basically, right? On the penalty, whatever, right? All the energy of the mitzvahs that it did, it can access only after a certain time. Then it can access that energy.
Like
that time is not now. It will be in several thousand years from now.
Is it like a savings account, or is it just that the neshama gets stronger and stronger, just it can never express itself because it almost stops it? And it gets really powerful enough to completely resolve the body in an instant.
No, it would seem that it doesn't have the power even to do that.
So it's not just that being blocked by the zone.
Yeah. It has to diminish its ability to do it altogether.
Why down to the meter? Well, why do you have to wait down to the access your bank account instead of your CD? Why can't you access it in a year from now?
Well, there's a whole business, a series of tkufas, there's the 6,000th year ends at 2240, right? And then there's 1,000 years where the entire Bria is transformed, but not the Guf. Then beginning in the 8,000th year, that's when it can access the account. It takes 2,000 years to do it, and then at the beginning of the 10,000th year, it now can tap into that energy and changes the body into a whole different it changes the body slowly, but it does have in the 7,000th year the body becomes inert.
The body doesn't exist after the 7,000th.
It does. No, it is. You have a physical body in the 7,000th year, except it's completely inert, which means there are no drive whatsoever. There's no there's no drives in any which way. So at that point in time, the neshama and the guf are equal in its influence on the body. That's called the chat chorov, and there's an equality. That with Moshe Rabbeinu when he went to Shemayim and he didn't eat and drink for 40 days, what that means is that he and the neshama, his guf and the neshama of his, right, were equal in terms of the influence on the body. So that's 1,000 years, and then the next two is where the guf begins to reconvert to a spiritual entity. That's all. The time.
Wow, what's going to be the motivation?
There's no motivation. That's the tkufa that it can access its energy. and therefore the neshama can now begin to change the barrier, right, and to make it pure, and then there's no more barrier. So therefore, there's a specific time that, you know, that the Bansham allows for this to occur.
Doesn't the mitzvah have a force on the neshama itself, the own neshamas?
Yes. Yeah. Depending on how many mitzvahs you did, all those people in Gan Eden are not on an equal level. We're talking about the ultimate powers to retransform the entire creation, right? But how the neshama itself lives depends on the mitzvahs. Yeah. Somebody who here was a tzaddik in this world has a different Gan Eden than somebody who was, you know, average. Sure. It's just that the neshama cannot access its power to change the physical universe. You see, that it can't do. But in terms of its living environment, it clearly depends on its what it did. The neshama experiences whatever the experiences in Gan Eden. There's an incredible experiences. You know what I'm saying?
The mitzvah changed the neshama. It energized the neshama.
The mitzvah allows the enormous amount of ha'ora, shechina, to the neshama. The greater the divine presence envelops you, the greater is your experience. So in Gan Eden, relatively speaking, to what it did, it has that type of environment. Yes, definitely. Relative, you know. But it's nowhere near the type... Remember, Gan Eden is as incredible as it is to us, it's nothing compared to Olam Haba. Gan Eden is not Olam Haba, you see. Olam Haba is a dimension of which there's absolutely no comprehension of what goes on there. So in Gan Eden there is a Ha'ora, but it's not the Ha'ora of Olam Haba.
Is
Olam
Haba the after Achris Yomim when Mashiach comes?
No. I told you there are 3,000 years. Olam Haba is the beginning of the 9,000th year.
I thought the definition was by Mashiach. So what is that?
There are so many people that have no understanding. They have tremendous confusion. But there's four things. There's Olam Hazeh, right? Yemoisa Mashiach, which is Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. That ends in the year 6,000. The year 6,000, it's over, right? Then you have 1,000 years, which is it's the Chat Chorev, okay. And then you have, when that's over, then you have the beginning of the formation of Olam Haba, and then you have Olam Haba. They're completely different things. means the whole world is destroyed for 1,000 years. In the davening, where's the siddur? Give me a siddur. There's always a lot of confusion about these three different ideas. But in Kale, it says in Arach Lecho, Hashem Lokein Boilim Hazeh. That we know what that is, right? Vein Zulotcho Malkein Lechayel Mabo. So that's in the year 9,000. So Olam Hazeh is 6,000 years. Olam Habo is in the 9,000th year. Efes Piltecho Goel Mitzvah Mashiach. So that's the last Tekufa of Olam Hazeh, right?
Vein Zulotcho. 6,000 years from now.
No. The Mashiach comes before.
Before 6,000.
Correct. And he ends his reign by the year 6,000.
He ends his reign by 6,000.
Exactly. That's it.
So Mashiach will only be about 105th, whatever.
What was that?
Because Mashiach will come now, then it will only be like 200 years.
225 years, right? 224 years, yeah. That's it. That means if the Mashiach came today, tomorrow, right? We will only have 224 years for him to. For his reign, and that's it. It's not, and so therefore, in the year 6001, which is the English year 2240, that's him as Mashiach. Then the end of Tchisamesim is an event that occurs at the beginning. It starts at the beginning of Mashiach ben David, and it goes on for 210 years, which I told you once, that's a Zoya, that the Tfisa Mason will take 210 years, depending how spiritual you are.
40 years.
What?
Including Maran, it says 40 years.
What 40 years?
That from the time of Mashiach to Tfisa Mason is 40 years.
Maybe that's the... What do you mean 40 years?
40 years from the time Mashiach comes till Tfisa Mason is 40 years.
Maybe the Kufa Mashiach from Yosef will be 40 years. And then David, and then it starts right after David comes. No, 40 years. You know.
I thought it should have been Yosef where he was killed.
No.
Yaakov said that Shimshon was Mashiach ben Yosef.
He was one of them. There are many Mashiach ben Yosefs.
But how many are there?
Well, on the last count... There's only one Mashiach ben Yosef, and there's only one Mashiach ben David. That's it. However, there are many candidates for the job. You see, if you have the neshama, a shurish of Mashiach ben Yosef's neshama, then you are a candidate. Same thing. In other words, there's the neshama of David HaMelech, and there's the neshama of Yosef. If you have a, if and they are neshama, they give off sparks, other neshamas. So therefore, one of the things they give off is called a sherish. If you have a sherish of Mashiach ben Yosef, let's say, you are a candidate of Mashiach, to be Mashiach ben Yosef. If the generation does the tikkun when you're alive, then what happens? You will become Mashiach ben Yosef because you will be given the yechid of Adam Rishon. That's the crown. Then you become the Mashiach. So there have been many candidates, you see, but there's only one guy who gets the crown. If the tikkun from Klal Yisrael happens in that time, see, same thing with Ben David. There are many candidates, right? If he comes, if the tikkun happens then, and then he gets the yechid of Adam Arishan.
So Yaakov didn't go that Shimshon was in fact the Mashiach ben Yosef.
No, he was a candidate. Correct. Uh-huh. They were all candidates. That's why when he saw that he died. He, you know, he sinned and so on. That's why he said, for your salvation, I hope, O Lord. Yeah, anyway. Because he wasn't, he didn't make it. Yeah.
So how did he get wrong by a Nebuah that year?
He wasn't wrong. He didn't have the whole Nebuah yet. I mean, he was just seeing it slowly. And then when he saw, he realized this person has the ability or the candidate to be it. But as the Nebuah proceeded, you know, whatever he was, you know, he realized, no, it's not going to work. See? Anyway. So that's an important distinction
the
between...
The wasn't the door.
What was that?
The deer wasn't the door. It was him himself.
Who? Yeah, he failed. I mean, he went, you know, him and Dolias, whatever that was, Delilah. You know, he failed in that, you know. And so on, you know. Then, yeah, probably the one who was, well, I'm getting into it, because probably the one who was almost Mashiach ben Yosef, the closest, and then he just failed, was Yerubim ben Nevat. Yerubim ben Nevat was a candidate to Mashiach ben Yosef. That's what he really was. He almost made it, except his gaiva killed him. That was the end of it. Because he said, mi barosh, you know, hey, that's distorted. But he was the closest, to ever being the Mashiach himself, which means to receive the crown, the highest crown of Adam Harishon. See? And that's what makes you the Messiah, the Mashiach. If you don't have that, you can be a Shurish, you're incredible, but you're not the Mashiach. You know? Anyway.
Does it matter who, I mean, the anyway, has to be on that level, like you said.
I said the tikkun has to happen in that door. The tikkun has to happen. That's the finish. Without that, there's no Mashiach. He has to wait.
I need to.
We can go on and on and on. Yeah, right? I appreciate your curiosity. But in any case, so therefore, the mitzvah is the trigger. Now, the question is, what's the operating device of a mitzvah? Why does a mitzvah give koach to the neshama to do? You know, what is the power of a mitzvah? What mitzvahs are we talking about? And so on. So what I want to do next week, yeah, we still have time next week, right?
Yes, it's the following week.
Yeah. Next week, to talk about the mitzvahs itself, the power. What gives the mitzvah the power? How is it logically connected to the fact that the neshama now has koyach when it's allowed to purify creation? How's that work? And so on, you know? So I want to do that next week. Are we on in that?
Yes, we are.
Well,
it's going to be the following week is going to be the day before Hanukkah.
So Hanukkah is in 2 weeks from tomorrow night. We know that, right? Okay. So
in Yom Tzeshen, we plan on bringing this shiur to a bigger place to attract more people as a one-time event, a pre-Hanukkah shiur. And that's going to be in the Miller Road area, where we have to confirm it's probably going to be on Miller Road itself. I spoke to someone today, and we'll confirm with it.
Yeah, so that one time, there's an interest in having a Hanukkah shiur, and Hanukkah is from tomorrow, 2 weeks. So we're Saturday night, and Hanukkah Sunday night. There's an interest of having a Hanukkah shiur, you know, what the pnimius of Hanukkah is, for a larger olam. So for that 1 week, Saturday night, which is 2 weeks from tonight, we'll have it in another place. He's staying on Miller Road. And then we'll return to this place, you know.
Well, is there a party also? We have to work out the details.
There has to be latkes.
Before
wait. There has to be latkes and jelly donuts. Without that, there's just...
I don't know. I'm saying Hershey's only start selling them as of the first day of Hanukkah.
No.
I'm telling you. I mean, it's not a Hershey donut. It's not.
No, that's impossible. Well, we'll see what these.
Maybe like a Josephus.
I'm sure I get enough. Josephus
Hanukkah.
I guarantee you, the week before, the Friday before, everybody's going to be selling donuts, the jelly donuts, and latkes. I guarantee.
Whenever there's a lot of wuchdias, there's a lot of yeshivas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so I just want to let you know. So next week we'll announce exactly
next
where.
Next week we'll announce time and location.
Yeah. It's just, okay.
And the answer will
say. But next week is 8:30. Is a problem at 8:30?
8:30. Yeah.
Because people. Yeah. Well, for you, but. Because people came in, it's 8:30, good?
People
come
late anyway.
They come
again.
It's
midnight,
it's
going to be 1 o'clock.
It'll be
1
o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
Zohar
in action.
Zohar in action, yes.
Can we do it at 9?
No, I'm afraid 9 is good. No, because we go late anyway, so it's 9, then it's 10:30. It's only 9:48, so you still have time to, you know.
I was trying to arrange this year.
Next week, 8:30, we continue here. In 2 weeks, we'll be somewhere else for that week, for Hanukkah Shiur, and then we'll go back to come here. Next week, 8:30, we're going to the mitzvahs. And, you know, one of the things I want to do for you is to show you how you can organize all the mitzvahs in 5 ideas. I mean, to really understand and what each, the pnimius is, and so on and so forth. It'll be very interesting. No, it's an eye-opener. Okay, great. See you next week, 8:30.